Welcome to the Precision Associate Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Physician Associate Podcast. My name is James, and this week I'm delighted to be joined on the podcast by Claire Barton, who is the Assistant Director at the General Medical Council. Just for context, back in 2019, the GMC were named as the preferred choice by the government to become the statutory regulatory body for physician associates and anaesthesia associates. So in this episode, I hope we can all find out a bit more about what the GMC is, what regulation will mean for PAs, and the timescale for it all to happen. So Claire, could I ask you to start, please, by explaining a bit more about what the GMC actually is and its history?
Happy to. The GMC has been in existence for many, many, many years. We've been in place since back in the 1800s. You know, back in the 1841 census, there was a suggestion that a third of all doctors in England were actually unqualified. So one of the ideas that drove the existence of the GMC was patient and public protection. So very important that those who are receiving healthcare are adequately protected, because they're quite often in a state when they might be vulnerable. And it was decided back in those days that something needed to be put in place to make sure that there were appropriate standards of medicine and healthcare across the UK. And equally, those who were practicing the profession could demonstrate that they had been suitably qualified. And we've been involved in all sorts of different things to get us to the point today. So we do things like quality assuring medical education. We publish standards that we expect all professionals to maintain. Our core publication, Good Medical Practice, is a positive statement about the standards of care that patients can expect, because patient safety is first and foremost in what we do. And then most recently, one of the things that we have looked at introducing is revalidation or continued competence. So those that are out there practicing as doctors in the UK can demonstrate that they remain up to date and fit to practice. So that's quite a long way of saying that, in a nutshell, we regulate the education environment, we set standards for professionals, we take action where action is required if professionals are unable to meet those standards, and we also maintain a register so that patients and public can see who is qualified and who is registered with us, and therefore up to date, fit to practice, and the appropriate person to be delivering the care that they need.
Okay, and for anyone who's listening to this who might not already know, currently the physician associate profession is unregulated, but the GMC will become that regulatory body for us soon. In the meantime, there is a form of voluntary registration managed by the Faculty of Physician Associates at the Royal College of Physicians.
Yep, so at the moment, the Faculty of PAs have a voluntary register, and I know that many physician associates have already joined that register, and I would absolutely encourage them to do that, because when we come to bring our regulation into force, we're hoping to have a much streamlined process for anybody who's currently on the faculty voluntary register, bring them over into our mandatory register that will be in place from day one of regulation. Faculty have done a wonderful job thus far, so would encourage everybody to move onto the voluntary register now if they haven't done, and then come over to our register once regulation kicks in.
And what does the phrase statutory regulation actually mean?
So that means that anybody who is currently practicing as a doctor and in future would be practicing as a PA or an AA has met standards that we set. And in meeting those standards, they have been educated in an environment that we quality assure. And in having their name put on the register, they are also confirming that they are fit to practice at the point in time we put them on the register. It also means that we provide support and give standards and guidance to those professional groups about how best to conduct themselves when they are in their practice environment. It means that in the unlikely event that a patient finds that the service that they have received at the hands of a practitioner, be that a PA or a doctor, doesn't meet the standard that they should have come to expect in the UK, we can take action. And it also means that we're equally able to say to other regulators across the world that those doctors who have been registered with us are fit to practice and up to date. And if people are moving around the world, as quite often happens with medical profession, because it is such a portable qualification, they can demonstrate elsewhere that they have been regulated by us and that they are in good standing, which is another way of sort of indicating that their fitness to practice is where it should be.
And once a profession like doctors or physician associates are statutory regulated, that then has implications as over who can use the title of doctor or PA, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So once regulation comes into force, you will have to be registered with the GMC to use the title of physician associate. There is a transition period for those who are currently registered on the voluntary register and currently working in the UK as a PA. So that doesn't mean that day one regulation, you have to stop work as a PA if you're working at the moment. You will have a 2-year transition period to get onto our register. But anybody who qualifies newly as a PA after regulation comes into force, or anybody who comes from overseas to work here, you will have to be registered with us in order to work in the UK as a PA. And equally, you will have to be registered with us from that point on to use the title PA. And if somebody were out there in the UK saying that they were a PA when they weren't, we have the power to take action and report that information elsewhere, mostly to the police, because it is an offence to hold, will be an offence to hold yourself out to be a PA if you are not registered with us. So it's a protection of the title and a protection of the profession. And one of the things that we're very keen to do is make sure that patients understand what the role is and what you do, because you do an incredibly important role. Understanding for doctors as well about the role, about how it fits in the multidisciplinary team. And that will hopefully ensure better team dynamics, better working, and ultimately patient safety and better delivery of healthcare to patients.
That all makes sense to me. Thanks, Claire. Okay, so I guess my next question is, there are other healthcare regulatory bodies in existence out there. So can you explain why the GMC was deemed as the best organisation to regulate PAs?
So back in 2019, which seems like an awfully long time ago now, the Department of Health and Social Care ran a consultation to see who should regulate physician associates. And the majority of respondents felt that the GMC were best placed. Physician associates work to a medical model, and obviously we already regulate doctors, so we have a full understanding of how the world of medicine works. PA's training, practice and supervision is very closely aligned to that of doctors, so it made sense that we would also regulate PA. And because you work together in that multidisciplinary team, we would then be able to look at the provision of healthcare in the round. We would be able to improve PA's professional credibility, and then more importantly, public confidence in the role. And I think that is growing organically as the role continues to emerge. It's really important that we're able to explain that role to patients and that there is confidence in that role. Doctors, I think, are still the top 5 most trusted professions in the UK, and we'd like to see PAs in that same role as a trusted professional.
That would be really good to see the profession develop like that. If I'm correct, this is the first time that the GMC have regulated another profession apart from doctors, right? I suppose that is quite a big cultural change.
It is. I mean, my recollection is actually in the dim and distant past, we did used to regulate dentists, but that was a long, 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 long time ago. And we've been a single professional regulator for a significant period of time. And so it is genuinely exciting for the GMC to move to now be regulating 3 different professional registrant groups: doctors, physician associates, and anaesthesia associates.
Okay, so once the GMC was named as the preferred choice, I guess you guys have been working in the background on this, right? What have you been doing so far, and what has to happen for regulation to become a reality?
So there are certain givens as we see them that we need to have in place. So, for example, we need to have a register. We need to have some way of showing to the public and to other professionals that we have PAs on our books, as it were. So we will want to have some form of searchable register. So having a register, we need to have a way for people to get onto that register. So we've been doing quite a lot of work with the faculty of PAs and with PAs themselves, thinking about how people will get onto the register, who we've already got out there in the UK working, and the easiest way for them to get onto that register. So I've mentioned already, we're looking at a very streamlined transfer of information for those that are currently on the FPA managed voluntary register, so to bring them onto our register. But when we come to the registration process, for example, a PA will need to demonstrate to us that they have a qualification. We will look to have some form of statement around your fitness to practice. There will be a questionnaire that you will need to fill in. And if you're currently in practice, we're likely to want to get some form of statement from your employer. In looking at registration, we also know that we need to have not only a way to get on the register, but also a way to get off, because there will be some people who day two, day three, day four of regulation will be going on maternity leave, or will be going to work overseas, or be deciding that actually they want to have a bit of a career break. So we need a way for people to get on and a way for people to get off. Another element we've been looking at is the education environment. So we will be in future quality assuring the education process for PAs. So there are some 36 PA school courses running across the UK. So we've had to reach out to the higher education institutions that are delivering PA courses, get a bit of an understanding for what they currently do, understand how many students they have, introduce them to our quality assurance processes and what they're going to look like. So we've already undertaken a questionnaire with the higher education institutions to understand the delivery of their courses, where they are, so we can start to work out how we will embed our quality assurance processes with them. We've also then started to think about what our standards might look like. So when you are practicing as a PA, there will be certain standards that you will be working to. There will be certain standards that we will be assuring that you are practicing in accordance with. So what we've done there is we've had a look at our own guidance. We have our core guidance, which is good medical practice, but we have many, many, many other elements of guidance. So we've had to have a look at that to sort of think about what's going to be applicable. Do we create separate guidance? Can we use the guidance we already have? Are there elements that we might need to create as new, for example? So as in addition to looking at what we've got, we've also used some really, really helpful focus groups. We have a community of interest that we've encouraged people to sign up to, and we've tested questions through that community of interest. We've talked to employers, we've talked to educators, we've talked to existing PAs. I think it's perhaps correct to indicate there are two areas of particular focus that have come up that we will look at more in future. One is supervision. So PAs are oft called dependent practitioners. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean in, you know, for the PA moving forward? What does that mean for consultants or GPs who may be supervising PAs? How's that going to work? I think prescribing is something that's come up quite a lot, and we need to think about whether we need separate guidance around prescribing and what that might look like in future. So lots of different areas for us to focus on, and all being driven by really helpful external engagement with existing PAs. Other areas that we're looking at is fitness to practice. So we will need to have a fitness to practice process. So should a PA find that they have not been able to maintain the standards that they expect, or should they find that a complaint has been raised against them, we need to have a process to deal with that. So we've been designing all our fitness to practice processes. And then finally, as if that wasn't enough, we've also been looking at what we might have in place for continued competence for PAs. So we've started to think about what that might look like. Now, that might not be a day one process, but we can't really look at all the other elements without also thinking about the future development of the role and what PAs might need to do in order to demonstrate that they keep themselves up to date. We've also got the PA national exam. So we've been having a look at that. We've been having a look at how that works. And we've been having a look at how that fits into the mix. And it's very much our intention to continue with the PA national exam, but we need to make sure that assessment matches the curriculum that we put in place for the postgraduate qualification, but also then has aligned to what we need for registration purposes, and then what we might need in terms of continued competence and how PAs move through their careers. So an awful lot of work that's been going on so that we are ready for day one regulation. And then there will still be work to come once regulation is actually switched on and we get going. So there's still plenty to be done and plenty of opportunities for PAs to get involved, either through focus groups or by signing up for our community of interest.
That's brilliant. And I hope people listening to this might be interested in signing up to help with that work to ensure regulation works well for all of us. Okay, so my next question was around, can you explain the benefits of regulation to PAs who might be listening to this?
It's around the professionalism of the role, and it's around highlighting the work that is done, making sure that patients understand where you fit in the multidisciplinary team. It's about, hopefully in future, the expansion of the career, you know, looking at sort of career development. And I know this is something that is already being looked at by some of the education bodies across the UK, HEE in particular, but sort of having that regulatory process sort of, I think, is a springboard for the profession to develop. It also will hopefully bring with it some benefits along the lines of prescribing, for example, because we know that prescribing is not normally given to any profession that isn't regulated. So regulation has to come first, and then prescribing will come after. It's going to take a while for that process to be worked through. It's quite likely that regulation will come in before prescribing rights are given. Prescribing isn't something that is within the gift of the GMC to give, but we are working very closely with the Department of Health and Social Care, who have set up a working group to look at the process of giving PAs the rights to prescribe. There's a big team of people working on it. The Faculty of PAs is also represented, and various other individuals, to look at the case for prescribing for PAs and what type of prescribing rights PAs will have. There are many different types. I didn't know any of this before I started looking at it, but there are many different types of prescribing rights. So we're working very closely with the department. The department are very keen to maximise the capability of the PA role to enable them to work to their full potential. And as part of that, they very much support the principle of extending prescribing rights to the role and are working with stakeholders, ourselves amongst others, to develop an initial case for need. And it's my understanding that this case for need will look at prescribing and also ionising radiation, which is something that has been raised with me in the times that I've been out talking to PAs.
Excellent. And I guess those two things in particular, ordering x-rays and prescribing authority, will be major developments for existing PAs in terms of progressing our careers. On that theme, in terms of further career development for PAs, I know the GMC sets the standards for post-qualification training for doctors. Are there any thoughts on what that might look like for PAs in the future?
So this is something that's actually already being looked at by education and training bodies in the UK. HEE, for example, are already looking at a career framework for all MAPs, so all four MAP professional groups. And it's something that GMC is involved in. We're not necessarily fully directing travel in that arena, but we are having some internal debates about how much we step into the space of post-qualification training and development for PAs. Because at the moment, our focus is on the qualification, the course that PAs get, and quality assuring that.
In terms of career progression, I think a lot of people wonder how career development for PAs might also link to salary progression in the future. Obviously, we're on the Agenda for Change framework in the NHS at the moment. Are there any thoughts on whether that might change in the future, maybe to something more closely aligned to a contract similar to our doctor colleagues?
So that isn't something that the GMC would get involved in. We don't have anything to do with contract negotiation or where it may sit. And it's not something that actually I've come across yet when I've been out and about talking to people about PAs day one.
Okay, that's fair enough. It's good to ask and get clarity on what the GMC will do and actually what it won't mean as well. I've probably been getting ahead of myself a bit there. Let's bring it back to regulation itself, which is coming soon. Is there anything that the PAs and their departments and colleagues should be doing now to prepare for regulation to make it a smooth process?
Yep. So I definitely recommend to join the PA voluntary register if you haven't done so already. In terms of employers, we do have NHS employers on our external advisory group for helping bring PAs and AAs into regulation. But it would definitely be worth making sure that employers know that regulation is coming. We will probably look to get some form of statement from an employer to indicate that a PA is working there and a PA is in good standing. So it may well be worth PAs letting their employers know that this will be coming in due course. And then, of course, once regulation is in force, we'll need to have some messaging in place, which we'll be working on and we can share with people so that employers understand when somebody should be on the register and when they shouldn't. Because we have this 2-year transition period. What we don't want is employers to think, I'm employing a PA. They're not on the register. What does this mean? I must make them stop work. It won't mean they have to stop work initially. That 2 years for that transitionary group, for those currently working as PAs, letting employers know that in future they should be checking the GMC register before they employ any new PAs to make sure that they are only employing those who are fully registered and regulated by us.
Thank you. That makes sense. And until GMC regulations brought in, it's really important that employers are checking that their physician associates are on the managed voluntary register with the Faculty of PAs in the meantime. Right, so most important question, can you tell us what the projected timescale is for regulation coming into effect?
The legislation that's needed to bring PAs into regulation is obviously something that sits currently with the Department for Health and Social Care. So they launched their consultation on regulating professionals protecting the public. Consultation covers not only the introduction of PAs into regulation, but it also covers a broader review of healthcare regulation in general. So the process for bringing PAs into regulation has many stages that need to take place, and they're all sequential. So they all have to follow one after the other. So the really good news is that this launch from the Department of Health and Social Care last week is the first step in that process. That's fantastic. So commitment is there. Things are moving forward. First consultation has gone out. There then needs to be a second consultation run by the Department of Health and Social Care, which will take place towards the end of this year, will be a consultation focusing solely on the GMC and what the GMC might need to have in terms of its legislation. Once that consultation has concluded, the GMC then needs to do its own consultation to look at rules that will fit underneath that legislation. It all sounds quite complicated. It is a big and difficult and complicated process. But what does this actually mean in terms of day one? When's that going to happen? We anticipate the earliest projected start date will be now, as soon as we can possibly make it, in the second half of 2022. So that might seem like a long way away, but there's still an awful lot of work to be done. It gives us great opportunity to spend this time making sure patients and public understand the valuable contribution that PAs make to the workforce and why they need to be regulated. Equally, making doctors understand the role of PAs gives us more scope, perhaps, to do more things than we had originally planned for day one, and gets us into the best position so that as soon as we are ready to switch regulation on in that second half of 2022, we're ready to go and make it as smooth a process as we possibly can for PAs in the UK.
Claire, thanks so much for giving up your time to talk to us today about GMC regulation for physician associates. I really appreciate it, and I'm excited that regulation will be here soon. Is there anything else that you wanted to say at the moment?
I think just to say, James, I mean, I have been very privileged in being able to speak to many PAs throughout the last year or so that I've been working on this programme. And I recognise how challenging it's been throughout the pandemic and how much a valuable resource PAs have been. I just wanted to make sure that I hope everyone is doing well. We have some great resources on our website around well-being and support for healthcare professionals as they continue through these challenging times. So please do make sure that you have a look at those resources. They're currently aimed at doctors, but there's no reason why you can't have a look at them. And obviously just make sure that you're all looking after yourselves.
That's perfect. Thanks, Claire. Thanks for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. One final quick question from me, please. If people who've heard this are interested in finding out more about getting involved in the regulation process, where can they go? How can they get in contact?
Sure. There are two things that we can do. One, do sign up for our community of interest. And I think, James, the best thing is if I send you the link and you can use your technical expertise to put the link somewhere alongside the podcast so people can just click on that link. It's very, very simple and away you go. We do also have an email account. Again, I can give you that email address. So if people have got any specific questions that are personal to them that they want to pose to us, they can email us at any point in time. We'll reply as soon as we can.
Thanks, Claire. And I'll leave the details that you've spoken about in the show notes below so people can find them there. And thanks to you for listening as well. I hope you found it really interesting to find out a bit more about GMC regulation, what it will mean and some of the things that it won't mean as well, and how you can get involved in helping. If you have any questions for me and the Physician Associate Podcast, we're on social media at PA Podcast UK. Thanks for listening, and I hope you join me again for the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Physician Associate Podcast.